Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Lead First, Lead Second. This is a podcast where our spiritual pursuit meets our leadership development. We believe that the best leaders, they don't start with strategy, they start with surrender. Because when you're led by Christ first, then you're going to lead others with greater clarity, purpose, and impact. And every episode is designed to help you grow, not just in your leadership skills, but in your character, your convictions, and your calling. Well, today we're going to start kind of a mini-series of our podcast where we lean into a season that we're in here at Grace, where we're taking everybody through Rooted. And so a lot of you listeners, maybe this is your first time ever listening to this podcast, welcome. Thanks for being here with us. And we want to help you make sure you have everything you need, both logistically and principally, to lead your groups well. Now, for other listeners that have listened to this podcast before and you're like, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about, these episodes will still be laced with some great practices and great principles as you work to make disciples, as you lead different groups, and as you lead people on your daily lives as well. I have here with me today Pastor Nate. Nate, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great. Glad to be here.
Nate actually has been the dreamer and kind of the spark behind bringing Rooted to Grace Church. He found this curriculum, what was it, a year and a half or so ago now?
Yeah, that's about right.
And has taken some groups of men through it, has gotten some other people to kind of beta test, and all of those have been fantastic. They keep coming back saying, like, this is such great practice and great rhythms to get people into. And again, that's kind of what sparked this whole season for us here at Grace. So Nate's going to kind of walk us through as we kind of approach launching this group. And that's where, if you're a Rooted facilitator, dial in. This is exactly what we're doing right now. And if you're listening outside of that, like, think to yourself, I'm going to start something with some friends or coworkers or a new group at my church. What would I be thinking through? But yeah, Nate, just specifically, like, what's on your mind for our group facilitators as they start leaning into this Rooted season?
Love, it's a great question. When I think about opening up a new season or a run of discipleship, Joe, we were using this word like mindset earlier. Mm-hmm. First thing that comes to mind is like there's a preparation as a leader that we need to go through at a personal level. Yeah. So similar to even the nature of this podcast and Lead First, like, you know, how do we as leaders prepare our heart? I think some of that is beginning to take some of the early vision of kind of what we know as a leader. This is where we believe God wants to take us as a church. Yep. How does he want me to lead this group of people through that? And right, you don't want that to feel organizational. You don't want that to feel systematic. You want that to feel visionary. You want that to feel spirit-led. You want that to feel personal. Mm-hmm. You want to be, as the leader, just as much a participant in the group, yeah, but you're just slightly ahead of where the group is going. And so I think simple things like that I've done is you need time as a leader to set aside for yourself. Okay, where can I create some space where I can be praying for the people, praying for the people's hearts? Where can I be asking the Lord to give me specific vision? And then be very open to the journey that he wants to lay out. Like, I often have an idea of where I think I want to take it, and the Lord moves or who he brings into the group. That's kind of the fun and adventure of a small group is, yeah, you go where the group goes,
yep,
and you guide it, but you also don't want to miss out on, you want to get to where you're going as a leader. We always talk about, like, lead with the end in mind.
Yep.
There's goals that we're striving for, you know, in terms of like, hey, this would be awesome to see this happen. There's wins that we're looking for. And then there's these are real people with real lives, and it's real discipleship all happening. So no matter where we think we're going to go, God is going to invite us to shepherd that journey,
yeah,
in the nuances that that group takes.
For sure.
And so, you know, that's part of part of getting things going when it comes to launching a new thing is preparing your heart as a leader, mm-hmm, connecting with the Lord, asking him those questions yourself, yeah, you know.
So we have all different levels of experienced facilitators and lots of them. I think what is it, like 250-ish facilitators that are stepping into this to lead different groups, and even a few more now trickling in or signing up to do so because they have friends or coworkers they want to take it through. Some of them, they've never done this before. Mm-hmm. So how would you, as they're starting to get ready for that, like how would you encourage these, I'll call them rookies, as they step into this?
Yeah. I think there's some basic things to group. Right, management, the preparation side, like prepare yourself for the curriculum, the content, like think about the logistics. There's some things that you can control and there's things you can't control, but you can make sure everybody that's on your roster got a personal invite. Yep. You can make sure that everybody got the address, that they have the time. You can't know for sure if everyone's going to show up.
Right.
But you can do the work of kind of the group leader, the preparation work, the communication, the logistics, the, hey, we're excited to see you, kind of in your messaging, in your, as you're preparing for it. You know, of course, you know, I often carry, like my personality, I tend to carry a little bit of anxiety or stress. And mm-hmm. so I have to work to, when I go to communicate, I am excited, but I want to make sure that the people know that, hey, we're excited to see you. Or, you know, here's everything you need to know. If you have questions, we're available. And it's be timely. It's be responsive. It's it's the hospitality side of it. It's having great communication, timely communication. And then if somebody plans change or they can't make it, you know, it's just learning to roll with that. That's part of kind of group life. And so, I don't know, as a leader, I think you do what you can do with the things that you can own and take responsibility for in as timely as you can. And then the other part of it is you create this space where people are welcome and invited, and you pray that they show up and that you make that connection. And then it just starts to happen. Yeah. So, yeah.
You mentioned a couple of things there that I think are so important. One is the hospitality. Some of our listeners might have tensed up a little bit there because they don't feel like they have that gift, or they're a little bit overwhelmed by that. We are talking about the mindset and the attitude less than the, like, did you put out the right snacks?
Steak.
Yeah, like, now, snacks can be great, but it really is the, like, I'm glad you're here.
Absolutely.
I expected you. I'm so glad. Not the, you're a burden, this is awkward, I forgot you were coming. Like, you want people to feel like, whether it's at Panera, at the church, or in your home, or wherever it is that you're meeting, you want them to feel like, I was thinking of you before you showed
up.
That's the mindset. Yep. You also mentioned something about, like, who shows up, and that got me thinking, Nate, what happens if, let's say I have a roster of, like, 8 people in my group. What happens that random week that only 3 show up? What's my mindset that I should take into that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we have to help everybody feel like every week matters and every group matters and every conversation matters. And the size, whether it's 3 people or 8 people, is really irrelevant, right? I've said this before in small groups. Sometimes the best meetings are the ones where you have a cookout and you have a burger, and you have the 30-minute conversation with the one person that you're like, oh, like, I didn't know this part about you, your story, your life. And you start to share a deeper, more meaningful connection because all of a sudden maybe it's a little bit more personal or the space lends itself to that. It was a great – in the preparing for Rooted, I had a small group of 4. And there were a few weeks where one of them didn't make it, so it was 3 of us, and it was powerful, very engaging. And so, to your point, Joe, we could be discouraged by that, or we can look at it as, okay, God can still work through this evening, and maybe we walk away feeling a little bit more connected, or there's space for conversation that normally we wouldn't have. So you take advantage of it.
Absolutely, advantage.
Make the most
of
that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I've led groups for years, and just like you said, sometimes those are the most meaningful conversations because you really can dial into somebody. So that's amazing. Nate, our facilitators have coaches.
Yeah.
And so are they people to ignore? Are they – is that another text that is just annoying? Like in all reality, as a facilitator is getting ready for the season, how should they be thinking about their coaches?
Yeah, I think – It's their first phone call. It's their first text. It's their it's their default. Like, we want that to become a very instinctual thing where you reach out to your coach. Here's what we've learned, right? People really enjoy and appreciate quick communication.
Yeah.
And, you know, technology now, and just through a couple quick text messages up the line to a coach, you know, or I do think that the coaches will have the ability to navigate things much faster than, you know, one of our staff trying to dig through an email inbox and that's a couple days later. As we think about discipleship, it needs to be relationally connected, both from a peer-to-peer, but also like when you get, I mean, group-to-group member, but also when you get leader-to-leader. The more relational that is, the more you can get outside of a structure of hierarchy, I think the better that's going to be. Yeah. So I would encourage you to highly lean into your coach. Our coaches have all been veterans when it comes to discipleship environments. And so that's a great way to build that rhythm and relationship. And, you know, I'm praying that as we move forward the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years as a church, that the connections between a facilitator and their coach, that God uses those in ways we wouldn't even think about.
Right.
Now is just the beginning of that. So just really lean into, I'll say it this way, like in some of the other circles I hang out, a network of relationship. And so we want our discipleship to be relational, but we want our leadership connections to also be relational. It's really important. So pray you guys lean into that, you know, get to know them. The body of Christ and you personally will benefit from that.
The way in which God's Spirit works inside each and every one of his followers is so wonderful. It is so powerful. It is so unique. And it's also so similar. And so what we mean by that is these coaches, as Nate said, they are the vets. They have done this, and they are amazing leaders. And so don't assume that just because you can't call Nate every Tuesday morning to figure out what's going on doesn't mean you don't have amazing leadership at your fingertips right away. We have, I think, over 250 people facilitating groups. We're pushing over towards 2,000 adults one way or another that will be connected to this. All of our students, we have a lot of people going through Rooted, and they can't all just call Nate, me, or Jeff. And so we're not going to necessarily know the answers anyway. Your coaches are going to be more dialed into what you're working through and your people with you, et cetera. And so they are a lifeblood, a lifeline for you as you do that. Nate, as we kind of get closer and closer to launching this initiative, what else is on your mind that you want your facilitators to know?
Yeah, just double clicking on this, it's something that we talked about in the training conversations, and I realized if you're new to the Rooted idea, or if you're jumping in here as a facilitator, some of you guys, almost everybody made it to the training, but I realize some people kind of catching up here. The rhythms, the seven rhythms, are the most important thing when it comes to Rooted, and so just encouraging you guys as facilitators. When you're giving vision to your group and when you're trying to, you know, prepare for group each week, just highly encourage people to continue to fight to create those rhythms, right? Daily devotion. There's five devotionals each week. It's not cramming all of those to the last hour, but it's taking time. Set aside 15 or 20 minutes a day. Where they can really get quiet and read and spend a little bit of time. Another rhythm is prayer. And so, you know, over the course of 10 weeks, if your small group and our entire church is practicing those rhythms, hearing from God, which is one of the things that a lot of people ask about frequently, how do I hear from God? What does that look like? And so we have an opportunity as a church and as small group leaders, as facilitators, to lead people into a practice and a rhythm where they can on a daily begin to hear from God and then guide and shepherd people in that process. And then take the time to draw that out in your small group. And so I would tell you guys that, and we said this, your small group together is prioritize people sharing what they processed, the questions they had throughout the week, what they reflected on. Those things are far more important than, you know, or rehashing the sermon,
right?
The sermon is there to provide our like framework DNA, philosophy, how we think about discipleship, how we think about this concept as a church. And that's going to be super helpful. But we want to make sure that we're prioritizing that discipleship work and investment that each group member is putting in.
It's huge. As you were saying that, it might be a good practice. First of all, I hope it's a no-brainer for each of our facilitators that you should be praying for the people that will be in your group. But I think what I'm going to do, and I might encourage you to do, is I'm going to look through some of the people that I'm taking through Rooted, and I'm going to start praying and writing down, you know, I'm going to use some random names here, but like what would happen if Ryan got a hold of these seven rhythms?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if Rachel got a hold of these seven rhythms?
Yeah.
And you start going through your group and you get a vision for, oh my gosh, if these people really grabbed a hold of what the Lord could do in their life, as opposed to like, am I getting through the curriculum?
Right, right.
Am I getting through the week?
Right.
Did I have a good conversation? But you're leading these folks closer to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we can really take that type of individual shepherding approach to this, I mean this metaphorically, that that's where the magic is, but that really is where the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. can do some incredible work in your life and in theirs. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really been like, we started every training with this prayer out of Ephesians 4.
Yeah.
And the prayer was that, right? People would understand what you're saying, Joe, is that their unique calling that they have in relationship with Christ, that our church leadership, our facilitators would have an opportunity to shepherd and guide our people closer to the heart of God. And that the community around us, Akron, Fairlawn, Bath, whatever, right, Cuyahoga Falls, all of our surrounding area, that our church even, that the love of Christ would grow because our leaders and our people are more intimately in relationship with Jesus. And so people that don't need know Jesus, the love of Christ will be shown more clearly, sharing their story, serving them, seeing their needs. And so all of that stuff, we're praying that God just starts to really move through our church in powerful ways, right? And we get to like be a part of catalyzing all that. So I'm pumped to get it going.
Yeah. It's going to be incredible. Well, thank you guys for joining in with us. For those of you leading a Rooted group, we can't wait. We can't wait to see what God does in and through you. And if you happen to be one of the other podcast listeners, like this is the kind of stuff that happens when you're being intentional about helping other people join into discipleship with you to figure out what it means to be in community together and the things that Nate's been talking through. Like these are principles we can go to again and again and again as we try to lead people closer to Christ. Remember that to lead others well, you have to be led well. So stay faithful in your own followership. Stay faithful in your own connection with Jesus, and your leadership then will certainly follow. So thank you so much for joining into our episode today. And until next time, keep leading, but always follow first. We'll see you soon.